just one history of the apocalypse. Everyone talks about Harry. There's the picture he's famous for, of him standing there in the rubble, face to face with a giant kaiju, reaching out just slightly to touch it on the nose and then it falls over. No one knows how it happened. No one knows how he survived with just that scar on his forehead, when everyone around him, his aunt, his cousin, the photographer, all died too. No one knows, but still they talk. Harry's mother was at the forefront of Jaeger engineering. Lily didn't start it or invent it or figure out drift technology in the first place, but she found out where it was going and got in there so she could start at the beginning and help everyone out. James came with her, James and all his friends. They said it so she wouldn't be lonely, but Lily thinks it's because they wouldn't know what to do with themselves if she weren't around. James and Sirius were too late to be Mark 1 pilots, which Lily thinks was probably a good thing in retrospect. But they were Mark 2 pilots as soon as the Mark 2s were ready, strutting around in their Jaeger, horny grim, which they think is hilarious and Lily thinks is stupid, but just laughs about it every time. Remus studies those Jaegers, teaches the children, takes care of Harry. Even Peter is happy, standing around taking care of Carrie and the other children in the Shatter Dome. All of them, they're happy together. Ron was raised in a Shatter Dome. His mother ran one, his father was a government liaison. All of his brothers. Bill left as soon as he was old enough to fly when his parents wouldn't let him. Went to a different Shatter Dome, and him and Fleur teamed up. They get a lot of interviews, a lot of media coverage, because they're both so gorgeous and they fly so well. But even still, their mother's desperately afraid that Bill isn't going to come home one day. Charlie moved to the coast, horrifying both his parents, but so he could study Kaiju Blue closer. In the same way, their mother's still afraid he's not going to come home one day. Ron and George just follow the best Jaeger pilots around. Desperate to know what makes them tick, but not willing to get into a thing themselves. And Ginny, well, as soon as she was big enough to crawl inside a Jaeger, she did, fixing some little tiny thing that no one else could get their hands at. And now whenever you see her, she's covered in grease, fixing another tiny little thing. Hermione was 7 years old when the first kaiju attached, and she stared at the screen. She was fascinated as it destroyed the city and destroyed everything, and all her friends wanted to be Jaeger pilots. Hermione thinks the world is coming to an end and they'll destroy us all, but she doesn't know if she's talking about the kaiju or the Jaegers. Hermione and Luna agree that the world is ending. There's a triple threat coming through the fabric soon, and no one knows who's going to be able to stop it, or if anyone will. They agreed. They never agree. But only two Jaegers were in working condition. There's not enough pilots to go. Not since Dean and Seamus were injured, and their Jaeger destroyed, so who knows what's going to happen. Harry grew up in Shatter Domes. They were the only home he'd ever known. His parents and all their friends were there, everyone who took care of him and everyone he knew. He wanted to help the war effort, help the people who were fighting even though he couldn't fight himself. And Dumbledore said he would be able to, that he knew how. Parents would just laugh and take him away and tell him that all the photographs of him with his mummy and daddy in the Jaegers, him holding a wrench and smiling, and him just having survived were enough. But Harry wasn't sure. Lily made the Mark III Jaeger, Arazed Phoenix. She drifted with James to test it out, and when she came out of it, she knew that she could pilot it. There was enough mechanics, enough engineers, but not enough pilots. Lily didn't want anyone else to risk themselves, so she went to Dumbledore and told him that the only one who'd fly Arazed Phoenix was her and James. Dumbledore tried to convince her, told her that they needed her expertise, they needed her knowledge. And in the end, he tried to tell her just how irresponsible it was for her and James to go off together, risking life and leaving Harry by himself. But Lily wouldn't back down. If anyone was going to fly Arazed Phoenix, she said, it was her and James, and that was it. Ginny killed a kaiju when she was 11. She was just crawling inside a Jaeger that had just come back from the battle, trying to fix some tiny thing that the bigger engineers couldn't get at, when just suddenly she saw a pair of tiny eyes in front of her, and suddenly it was on her. But Lily was a younger sister who'd grown up with brothers, and her first instinct was to lash out, and she hit and hit and hit it with her wrench till it fell off her. The scientists were thrilled. Her parents were terrified. They nearly didn't want to let her back in again, but Ginny just picked her wrench up next time and went straight back inside, as there was no stopping her. Fred and George were obsessed with Jaegers. They thought they wanted to make rockets something, or some kind of mechanics, or spaceships, or whatever, and they're not even sure now anymore what they thought. But as soon as they knew about Jaegers, it was just Jaegers. Jaegers and nothing else. And that was the only thing they'd see, and they just wanted to make them bigger and stronger and better. Luna came out of her workshop raving, saying they needed a nuclear bomb. the alien homeworld was flammable, and if they could just get a nuke in there through the fold, they'd be able to blow it up and cause a chain reaction. No one asked her where she got the information, because mostly nobody really wanted to know, but it didn't really matter, because no one was giving a nuke to the defunct Jaeger program, so they were out of ideas. They couldn't even make one. Fred and George looked at each other. They could get one. They had a nuke. They had a delivery system. They had a plan. They'd had a secret project all along. A homemade Jaeger. They brought it out of hiding. Their secret project. Their Jaeger. The twins looked up at it in awe, and the rest of the room looked up at it in what Ginny could only describe as a general expression of what the fuck. The official record of Luna Lovegood entering into the Kaiju program has been lost, if it ever really existed, lost in a Kaiju Blue attack, and there are those that say that this is further evidence of the Kaiju's desperate attempt to control the world. And there are those that point to this as a conspiracy, that the Kaiju were sent here to control us. When James started flying with Lily, Remus went to Sirius and literally begged him to join up with him. Literally. Got down in front of him on his hands and knees in the middle of the class, and the students were delighted, and Remus was horrified, but the work was too important. They got into Horny Grim and fought alongside Erzad Phoenix, and no Kaiju stood a chance. Harry was 12 years old when his parents died. He spent a year in shock, and after that everything changed. The Jaeger program was doing well. They didn't really need Harry anymore as propaganda to try and encourage more people into it, so he didn't have to give interviews or take photographs. He wasn't a cute kid anymore, and the world was moving on. Harry was relieved a little bit. He wanted to train him and Ron, but Ron was too young, and Dumbledore and Mrs. Weasley put a stop to that. Harry was too young too, and Harry was never going to be allowed to pilot. Too important, too valuable to the mission. No one was ever letting Harry inside a Jaeger. By the time Ron was old enough to learn to pilot a Jaeger, the program was winding down, but he joined up anyway. He'd always thought he'd fight next to Harry, drift with Harry, but with Harry out of the program, forbidden from entering, he just had to find someone new. He thought he'd join up with one of the other boys in the class, but as soon as they started, Dean and Seamus stopped being separate people and became Dean and Seamus. Their connection obvious even outside the cockpit. Ron was compatible with a girl, Lavender. They joined together and piloted. They weren't the best, but they were good together. They knew what they were doing, and they could make the Jaeger work. But the first time out, they were both terrified. Ron had never seen a Kaiju before, neither had Lavender, and they both suddenly got the realization that if the program was winding down with less and less money and less people willing to join, they never would have been allowed out of training in the state they were. They both panicked and something went wrong, but one of them, they don't know which one, managed to get them out of there. The Jaeger was destroyed, but they made it back to shore in time, and Lavender quit the program and never went into a Jaeger again. Ron wanted to get back in, but he was too afraid and didn't have a partner, didn't know if he'd ever have one again that would be willing to get in with him. As soon as she was 14, Hermione stopped pretending to be normal. She tested out of high school, out of most university courses, so she could do what she wanted to do. She focused on physics, interdimensional particle physics, quantum mechanics, anything so she could try and figure out where the Kaiju were coming from and how to get rid of them. Every project was about that. Professor said she was driven, classmates said she was crazy. Everyone said she was obsessed, but Hermione ignored them all. She just wanted to know. General Dumbledore wanted the Weasley twins in a Jaeger. They'd drifted before. They wanted to know every single thing about the Jaegers that they could. Knew they had to know that if they were going to work on them. But they didn't want to. They didn't want to fly one forever. Didn't want to be trapped in the drift until they could come down. Drifting for a few minutes was enough, because sometimes they would wake up, screaming, phantom limbs and phantom injuries, scaring them, terrifying them. Because their dreams were linked now. They'd wake up feeling each other's pain, blinding green lights, hurting them. Phantom limbs and phantom injuries scaring the two of them. They knew exactly how a Jaeger worked, knew how the drift worked, but they refused to get inside one. They never would until they were the last option possible. But they refused to get into one, kept on refusing the whole time until the options were gone and it was time for the end of the world. If anyone asks, Luna will tell them the Kaiju were just misunderstood. Just one of life's mysteries. But then she'd talk about the little folk who lived in her lab and the Fae who helped her get things done, and people wouldn't know if she was being serious or trolling. They'd just slowly back out of the room while she kept talking. By the time Harry was 14, he'd given hundreds of speeches to inspire Shatterdomes. He refused to endorse the wall, even as the Shatterdomes were closing down around him. But Harry was sure the Jaegers were still necessary. His Uncle Remus and Uncle Sirius were sent out more and more because Hornygrim kept ruining things until the one time when Sirius made a stupid mistake in even stupider circumstances and shattered his spine. Remus took him to live in land where they could be safe, theoretically, even if just for a while. Harry stayed in the Shadow Domes because, even without them, that was all he'd ever known, the only life he'd ever had. And maybe, one day, he'd be able to help the way he'd always wanted to. After the Jaeger program was halted, and Jaeger production stopped, the twins started working by moonlight. They'd keep doing their regular jobs during the day, whatever they were asked to do or supposed to be doing at any given time, but at night time they came alive. They salvaged scraps of Jaegers and slowly pieced them together in the back. Ginny caught them early and asked to help, and she knew more about Jaegers, the actual mechanics of them, than either of them, so they let her help, reluctantly. More and more Jaegers were shut down or defeated by the kaiju, and they kept working. They worked as the wall went up, they wilted as it got worked as it got bigger, and as the world was ending, they scrambled to finish their creation. Finally, they got to stand back and look at it. Didn't look like a Jaeger, it looked more like a scrap of metal pounded into the vague shape of one, but it was there, and it was standing, and it was upright, and they knew it would work. "What are you going to call it?" Ginny asked. The twins looked at each other. "Wizard Wheezy." It looked like it would fall over if you sneezed. Sirius was taken out of the game by a stupid, stupid mistake. It wasn't a kaiju attack or a fall from a Jaeger or anything significant. It was just skateboarding across the Shadow Dome, a risk so insignificant it paled in comparison to the ones he took every day, but that was it. His back is broken and he can't go on, can't stand up in a Jaeger anymore, can't drift through the pain. Remus is secretly glad. Sirius was reckless enough when James was around, but with James gone, it seems like he's developed a new level. Remus just wants him to be safe. The breach was opening. Wizard Wheezy was ready, its defenders and creators ready. They had no one to pilot. Blade Dancer was ready with its usual pilots, and no one really asked why two figure skaters had been two of the most successful Jaeger pilots, fighting Kaiju Wolf and keeping their Jaeger together when most people failed. If you asked them, they would just gaze at each other soppily and talk about love, and people would walk away before they had a chance to get too detailed. Dumbledore pearled Remus out of retirement and thought that between them they could pilot one of the last remaining Jaegers, Jidamine Eros. But when the klaxons went off and Lee was yelling out orders, the twins found people already in Wizard Wheezy. Harry, there, dressed and ready, clear-eyed, with a girl they'd never seen before. Harry, dressed, clear-eyed and ready to go, with a girl they'd heard about before but never actually met. Chrome was the only Jaeger pilot to ever survive when her co-pilot died inside the drift. She was a little too calm and a little too eerie and claimed he was still living inside her head, but she and Harry were drift-compatible and they knew they could do this. They knew this was a one-way mission, that they weren't coming back, but that they had a chance to end this all, to stop the end of the world. Neither of them flinched in the face of certain death. Then someone screamed because General Dumbledore had a heart attack, falling to the ground. It wasn't going to be in Wizard Wheezy, but the twins were finally in the pilot seat. Luna knows the kaiju better than anyone. She knows them better than anyone, and even though she loves creatures and she doesn't like to see harm come to them, she knows the only way to stop them is to destroy them fully, that they'll never stop coming until the end, until they're all gone. So she straps on her drift helmet and goes to work. I can see them. I can see them all cheer as they walk towards the gate. They're taking it out, the Godkiller. Erised Phoenix taking it out to the water. They don't understand. They don't look at these creatures and see the beauty of them. See that they're coming, that they're beautiful, that they're going to save us all. They just take them out. They try to destroy them. Think that they know the way. I can see the hangars come. Three helicopters picking Erised Phoenix up and dropping it out into the ocean. My eyes close against it. I can't bear myself. Godkiller taking on the god and destroying it. Everyone around me holds their breath. I can feel someone clutching my hand. They're desperate for this relief. But instead, I can see it. Erised Phoenix raises its hand to strike the Godkiller and the god resists. The god strikes back and Erised Phoenix hits the water, dead, unable to move. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Around me, silence. Everyone stops, stares, unbelieving that something like this could have happened. That Erised Phoenix could finally have been defeated and the gods can reign anew. I fall to my knees. Next to me, someone mistakes my elation for grief.
"Are you all right, Peter?" they ask. I look up through tears, my tears of joy that they can perceive as tears of sadness, and shake my head slowly. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Three Jaegers go to the party. Blade Dancer, Judah Mineros, and Wizard Wheezy. Three Jaegers, three Kaiju. The fight to the end, and everyone knows staring out in the water that even if this isn't the end, even if not everyone comes back, and even if they live to fight another day, this is it. This is their last chance to win and their humanity's last chance to save itself. Without this, all is lost. The three Jaegers fight well, but sometimes it seems like they're no match for the Kaiju, the unrelenting force that comes against them. There's not enough. There's just not enough movement. The Jaegers don't have enough movement. They can't. They don't have the tails. They don't have claws. They can't get back against it. Blade Dancer distracts, trying to draw them off. Judah Mineros attacks and Wizard Wheezy comes in from behind. It's terrifying. It's scary. No one really knows what's going to happen. Blade Dancer takes out the biggest before getting torn apart. Judah Mineros comes to its display and gets knocked to the water. And suddenly, Wizard Wheezy picks up the living Kaiju as a shield. And they all go down into the breach. The Kaiju, the Jaeger, the bomb. Silence. It stretches for too long, and then escape pods break the water. The first one out is Yuri and Victor, the longest Jaeger pilots, still alive, embracing in the water. The second pod opens and a ginger head emerges, blood pouring down its side, grasping for anything. It's alone, screaming. Yuri and Victor have to look away. A third pod breaks the water and the Weasley twin goes over, grasping, trying to break it open, but a female head emerges instead. She puts a hand on his shoulder to reassure him, but suddenly another miracle, and George turns around and sees his twin. Harry is the last to emerge. When the helicopters are there, the journalists, and they're still there, even just the one. Harry comes, rising from his pod in the ocean like a modern Venus. Harry Potter, the boy who lived, and lived again, and lived again. We have cancelled the apocalypse.